Sorry. We were in 7 for a while, weren't we? Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 5 this morning, or this evening. Boy, what? Good to have y'all here on a Wednesday night. I'm Pastor Gibson. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verses 1 through 5 on this December the 4th Sunday evening. Verse 1, who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. This morning, as we were talking about marriage and the sin of fornication, adultery, and all of those things, we finished up by looking at Ephesians chapter 5 and trying to point out what marriage means. What marriage means, what it's all about. And the reason for that is when you understand why you're doing something, what you're doing is easier to do. And it makes a lot more sense. I'm the kind of person who, there are two reasons why I did not do very well in high school. And one was sheer laziness. I was a lazy student. And I did not, I was not disciplined, and I did not do my work the way that I should have. But I learned. I still remember a lot of what I learned in high school. I learned, but taking a book home and doing homework, I just wouldn't hardly do it. And so that hurt me. But I remember sitting and talking to a kid that was, I think he ended up being valedictorian of the class, and he was sitting back behind me, and his name was Kyle, and we were in, I think, government class and in our senior year, and we got our test back, and of course he aced it as always, and I don't even remember how I did on it, but I turned around and I asked him. I said, Kyle, I said, do you learn all of this and remember all of this, or do you just memorize what you need to know for the test? Kyle made me so mad. He said, Kyle was a good kid, but he said, I just memorize it for the test. And that made me so mad. I thought, here's this kid who's just memorizing it for the test. He's valedictorian. He ends up being valedictorian of our class, you know, straight A's and everything. I'm the dope that thought you were supposed to learn all this stuff and take it with you down the road. So I say that to say this. I'm the kind of person that while you can show me how to do something and I can do it, the way my brain works is this. I like to know why it works or how it works. I like to know what makes it tick. Because if I understand the how and the why, then it's easier for me to do the task. And the world is made up of all different people. Some people don't care the how and the why. They just, what do you want me to do? And I'll do it. And I feel like if I know why, if I know how, then I can do it a little bit better. It makes sense. And so that's the kind of student that I was. I didn't do well because I wasn't disciplined. I wasn't doing the work. And I couldn't just memorize. I tried to learn it and figure it out. And I wasn't always very quick at that. So anyhow, that's how my life has been. And some of you, as I say that right now, some of you are saying, yeah, that's me. I like to know why. I like to know how. I like to know the workings of it. And some of you say, no, that doesn't matter to me. I just I just need to know what you want done. It doesn't matter to me how or why. And that's fine because everybody's different. But when it comes to the Bible, I think we all need to be on the same page there. When it comes to the Bible, we all need to know what we need to do, but also why. Why is that important? And God doesn't leave us without that. When we come to the Bible, God, He doesn't just tell us do and don't do. All throughout the Bible, we read about Him and His character and who He is, and that helps us understand why He wants us to do certain things and why He wants us to not do other things and why this is important to God and why this is an abomination to God. So we read the Bible, and the more we learn about God, we learn. You know, people that are opposed to Christianity like to say, well, it's just a big book of don'ts. Or do's and don'ts. Well, people that say that don't know what the Bible's all about. Christians don't say that kind of stuff because Christians know this isn't a book of do's and don'ts. This is a book of there are some do's and don'ts, but God gives us the explanation as to why. Here's why this needs to be done this way. Here's why we do it like that. Here's what God expects. We do this because of who God is, because God is this, and He's this, and He's this. And when we know that, when we know those things, that makes our obedience a little bit easier. Whenever we realize that we're not just doing something, but we know why we're doing it. And so this morning we looked at that with marriage. When we understand what marriage is, then we understand why certain sins are so serious and all the problems that they cause. Well, it's going to be the same thing tonight. Tonight we look at in this passage our respect for and our proper response to human government. Now, some of this will be a little bit of a repeat because just a few months ago, on Wednesday night in 1 Peter, we touched on this a little bit. So some of this stuff will be a repeat from them, and then some of it will be some things that I didn't bring up then. But it's something that we all need to be reminded of. Okay, what about this area of respect for government and our response to earthly government? Because I don't care where you go, you're not going to get out from underneath it. As long as you're here on this earth, it doesn't matter where you go. There are different types of governments. Okay, there are, we call what we have a democracy, but we understand that it's not a pure democracy, but we have a republic is really what we have. We have a republic here. And then some countries still have monarchies with kings and royal families, and then others have dictators. But no matter where you go, here's what you're going to find. No matter where you go on the face of this earth, you're going to find there's one man or a group of men that are ruling over the inhabitants of that land. That's how it is. That's how it's always been. So we're not getting away from it. Okay, we're not getting away from it. So we have to understand, what's my response supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? Well, the Bible makes it clear, as we'll see tonight, that we are to respect human government. We are to respect earthly government. Agree with everything that it does? No. Obey everything it tells us to do? Well, no, we'll see tonight that that's not the case. But respect it? Absolutely. And so tonight we'll look at why. Because to just say, you know, God expects us to respect human government, won't it be a lot easier if we understand what God has to say about human government and why it's so important to respect human government and how we are to respond to that? That'll make things a lot easier for us as we go on day by day. Oftentimes, human government acts in ways that are sinful. But even though they act in ways that are sinful and they do things that are wrong, the institution itself is one that was ordained by God. God put people in these positions. God has allowed us to be governed in these ways. So, though there are many corrupt and bad governments, and some governments do terrible things, the institution itself is one that is a part of God's plan and His workings for right now in this dispensation here on this earth. It's just like the it's just like any office, okay? It's just like the office of president or governor or mayor or whatever it may be. If you work in a school and you have a principal there, it's the same thing. You might have one person in that office who does a good job and is well-liked and makes good decisions, and then it's not too hard to respect that position, is it? But what if the next guy is a scoundrel? Do we just stop respecting that position? No. The man might not be worthy of any respect. The person might be as despicable as he could possibly get, but that position absolutely still requires a certain amount of respect from God's people for the plain and simple fact that it is a position of authority and a position of importance. The Bible says, we won't turn now, I'll read it to you, but if you want to mark it down, Proverbs 21:1, the Bible says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." And so we have to understand that God has instituted human government and that it's never out of his control. He has instituted it, and no king can ever do anything against anything that God has to stand back and say, "What am I going to do now?" Okay, so he instituted it, and everything is working together as it should. But the Bible says, we go to verse 2, it says, "I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God." So here's one of the reasons why we respect and have this proper response to human government, because of who God is, because of our oath to Him, and because we are His people, and He expects something from His people. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. And if you have some type of bookmark or anything like that, you might want to put it there, put your Bible ribbon in there or your bulletin or something, because we'll be coming back to Romans 13 in just a moment. I just want to look at, I think, one verse for right now. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Okay, so the human government is something that God has put in place, and we're supposed to be subject unto it. God's word gives us strict instructions in regard to our responsibility and our respect of government. As we read this verse, simply put, the only reason any earthly government has any authority is because God has given that authority. It says right here, the powers that be are ordained of God. If a government rises or falls, it's because God has allowed it to rise or fall. Very plainly. The free will of man is not excluded from that. But we read this verse, and the verse tells us, hey, God has put human governments in place. Okay? But we are given these strict instructions in regard to our response and the respect that we're supposed to have. And what I want to look at for a few minutes here tonight is, first of all, why is it so important that we have a proper respect for authority? And specifically, human government, governmental authority, because that's what's being talked about in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Well, if you go back there to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God, first of all, because it's commanded by God. Why do we have respect for the authority that's over us? It's commanded by God. And it says, in regard of the oath of God. God's people ought to obey God. And if we're going to obey God, one of the things He tells us to do is to be subject to these authorities. And since one of His commandments is to respect governmental authority, if we are God's and we're going to obey Him, one of the things He says to do is respect this authority, so we do that. So I know that sounds simple, but it's hard for some people to get a hold of. The first reason why we have respect for governmental authority is because it is commanded by God. It is absolutely commanded by God. God tells us to. He tells us to do that. We're God's people. We are a witness to Him. How does it look if God's people, if God's people are the rebellious ones, if God's people have a problem with everything that comes down the pike, when a lot of the things that God's people sometimes have problems with are things that biblically, we ought just submit to. Now, we don't submit to everything. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But there are a lot of things that we don't like, but they don't cause us to be disobedient to God. And so we just say, okay, I don't like it, but God's called me to be in subjection, and so I do that. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 13, 1 Peter 2, 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. You see, that's what government's supposed to do. Government's supposed to... Basically, I know this sounds simple, but government is basically supposed to put away bad men and protect good people and provide for safety. That's the main role of a government. Now, many governments have gone beyond that, but that's really at the basic heart of what government's supposed to do. Stay out of people's lives and stay out of people's business and just make sure that people aren't going around killing each other and robbing from each other and things like that. Government was never supposed to get involved in how you raise your child. Government was never supposed to get involved in marriage and all of these issues and everything. Government was never supposed to be involved in that. But they have gotten involved now, haven't they? But at its core, government is supposed to be basically a form of protection so that people can carry out their lives and live and do the things that they need to do without being worried about guy next door coming over and knocking you over the head and taking all your stuff. And if he does that, getting away with it. That really, at the core, that's what it's about. It says in verse 15, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." You see, the world's looking. They need to see Christians being obedient. "As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." Sometimes governments will do things that will cause us to suffer wrongfully, but we endure that. Why? Because of it says thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God. Because we're trying to be a witness for Him, and because we know that He sees all and that He will square things eventually. We'll go back to Romans chapter 13 where we were. And now I want to read verse 2. It says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." So you see, whenever you're rebelling and fighting back against the governmental authority, and they're not asking you to do something that's contrary to Scripture, it's just something that you don't really want to do. The Bible says here that actually what you're doing is you're fighting back against God. Now, is petitioning and voting and trying to make some changes, is that rebelling and fighting back? No, that's the regular course of how government works. But what would be fighting back and rebelling? Well, that would be violence and rioting and tyranny and, you know, things like that, just trying to take over and get our own way. Okay, well, that's not godly. There are things that we can do and channels that we can go through. Titus chapter 3. Might want to hold that place in Romans. I think we're going to go back there again later. But right now we go to Titus chapter 3. And verses 1 and 2, it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Okay, so it's clear as we look at the Bible here and we look at these verses, it's clear that God expects His people to have a good, peaceable relationship with those in authority over us. And one of the reasons that we do that is because God has told us to do so. Well, another reason, we go back to Ecclesiastes, to our text, another reason is we will benefit from it. Starting in verse 3, be not hasty to go out of his sight, talking about the king. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. For the word of a king, where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? See, what are you going to say to the king? He has power and authority on his side. I'm not trying to be carnal or anything like that. I don't know who sang it. I don't know how it goes. I just know that there was a song maybe in the 70s, and it was, I fought the law and the law won. And some of you probably remember, I don't know how it went. I don't know who sang that song. I don't even know if I've ever heard the whole thing. But it was very popular and used in commercials and movies and things like that. And people say it. People say it. They say, I fought the law and the law won. Okay. It's a worldly song, but it's actually a biblical principle. You know, on the side of the law, what is there? There's strength. There's power, there's authority. That's what this is talking about. This is saying, what are you going to say to the king? You know, if the king is dealing with you, what are you going to do to the king? So you need to be in the right place. You need to do right so that you don't have this friction between you and the king. It says, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Who does a king answer to? I realize here in our country, we have a government set up to where our elected officials are supposed to answer to us, but come on, that doesn't always happen. They don't always listen to the people. Now, the good thing is if they don't for long enough, we can get rid of them. We can vote them out and get somebody else in. But some nations don't have that. Some nations don't have that. Israel didn't have that. It was Solomon was the king. He didn't vote in the king in Israel. He didn't work for the people. The people worked for him. And he has power and he has authority. And so so Solomon's speaking from the side of the king here because he's been on this side of the curtain. And in verse 5, whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. This isn't a promise that nothing bad is ever going to happen to you, but if you are doing, if you are, as we say, keeping your nose clean and you're obeying the law and you're not doing things that are contrary to the law, then what's going to happen to you? Well, things are for the most part going to go a lot easier for you. You know, some people have spent their entire lives in and out of jail, and they've had their license taken away so many times they'll never get it back, and they've been been bailed out one time after another. And then there are others who have never set foot inside of a jail unless it was to visit somebody else or to file a complaint on a neighbor or something. There are some who have never even been questioned. So it is possible, isn't it? It is possible to stay out of trouble. And then we're being encouraged here to do that. If we will do that, if we will respect authority for what it is, it'll make our way a little bit smoother. And I would like to have a smoother way. With all of the pitfalls that this life has, why add to it? Why add to it by being rebellious against authority? We understand that a government that is overstepping its bounds can be harmful. But that isn't what's being talked about here in chapter 8. This is just authority in general. Now, if we go back to Romans, this time I want you to go to chapter 12 before we go to 13. Romans chapter 12. And find verse 8. Wait, do I want Romans 12:8? I don't want Romans 12:8. Oh, I'll find what I want. I want 18. I get in a hurry when I write. Romans 12:18. The Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, look, live peaceably with all men. How about one more time? If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now what happens to us? We say, oh, it just isn't possible. You can't live with that person. You can't put up with that person. Really? We are to do everything that we can to live peaceably. And you know what? Sometimes living peaceably with somebody means you might have to sacrifice a little bit. You might have to put up with a little wrongdoing. You have to weigh things out in the light of Scripture. Is this something that I need to pursue, or is this something that really is not that big of a deal and I just need to kind of let it roll off my back so that I can live peaceably? Well, in a nation full of hotheads, when people just think that it's the crowning achievement to tell somebody off and speak your mind and put them in their place, this verse doesn't sit very well, does it? But it's still in the Bible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I'm afraid sometimes we don't try as much as lieth within us. I'm afraid that sometimes we say, well, I tried, and we know that we didn't really try. Okay, so we are to live peaceably. We're to do everything that we can to try to be peacemakers and live peaceably and keep things smooth and rolling along. We go over to 13, pardon me, chapter 13 again, and find verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we look at this passage here and we say, you know, sometimes we complain about taxes and regulations and things like that. And you know what? We are blessed to live in a place where we can vote on some things like that and make some changes and everything. But as long as it's on the books and until we get it changed, we're supposed to do it. We say, boy, I don't like how much they're taking. I don't like all the taxes and everything. And we live in a country where we can try to do something about that. But until we do, we're not supposed to withhold that. Jesus said to render unto Caesar what was Caesar's. He said, I don't like paying all that. I don't. Well, who does? Nobody does. Come on, you go back to Scripture. The tax collectors were just as disliked back then as they are now. I mean, come on, Matthew worked for the IRS. They didn't like him any more back then than we do now. But let me ask you something. What is it about paying taxes that makes you have to disobey God? What is it about paying high taxes that you don't like to pay that is causing you to sin? Are you sinning by paying high taxes to a government? Absolutely not. But if you're not paying what is due, then you are. You say, well, I don't like it. Well, we can do something about that, maybe. Every 4 years or so, somebody promises us to do something about it. But as long as it's there, we're supposed to render that tribute. Okay? And we're supposed to live peaceably. Things go better for us when we have respect. One more attitude that we're supposed to have when it comes to the authority that's over us is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And the first two verses. We're supposed to pray for them. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now look, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We have missionaries right now that are living under oppressive governments. And they're doing everything that they're from this country. We support missionaries who are living under oppressive governments. And they're doing everything they can to live a peaceable life. Why? So that they can get the gospel. Because that's what matters. That's what matters. It's not about going in and turning that country upside down and bringing in democracy and making them another United States or whatever. It's about going in and trying to live as peaceably as possible so that they can get the gospel out. What are we supposed to be doing? Getting the gospel out. How are we going to do that if we're fighting with the government all the time? How are we going to do that if we are just always in turmoil over something that the government's doing? Why don't we just learn how to live peaceably and get back to the work God's called us to do? And one of the things we're supposed to do, okay, we're supposed to respect, because God put earthly governments in place, so we're supposed to respect them and respond to them accordingly. We're supposed to pray for them. We do that here. Many a Wednesday nights, we pray for our governmental leaders, for our law enforcement, those that are in authority. We want them to be safe. We want them to be safe. We don't want anything to happen to them. We want them to be saved. We want them to make good decisions. We want them to be led biblically when they make decisions. That's what we're supposed to do. And then finally, the question has to be asked, yeah, but what happens when you can't live peaceably? What happens when they do overstep their bounds? What happens when government does say, you have to do this, and it's contrary to Scripture? Is it ever acceptable for us to disobey the orders of government or some kind of group that has authority over us? Is it ever okay not to submit to their authority and to disobey? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. In certain cases. And let's look at what they are. We won't turn there because we know the story. But if ever there was a man who was well liked by the government officials, it was Daniel. Well, Joseph was. Okay? And then Daniel. Okay? And Daniel was promoted, and Daniel had all these responsibilities and everything, and Daniel obeyed the king. He obeyed the king and did what the king required of him all the way up until the decree was given that got into Daniel's faith. And as soon as that governmental authority said, you can't pray anymore, Daniel was faced with a decision. And his example shows us what? When a government tries to say that you have to do something that will cause you to disobey your God, that is where God does not expect us to be submissive to that authority. That's where we say, nope, I'm with you up till this point. But right here is where we part because God comes first. Let's look at that specifically. Go to Acts chapter 4, and we'll close out in the book of Acts here as we look at what our response should be to earthly government. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. So here's what the governmental high ups are talking about, Peter and John here. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And oftentimes when a government tries to get into your faith, this is the reason right here, because your faith is a threat. Your faith is a threat, and they don't want you preaching Jesus. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now look, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. So they're saying, you think it's right for us to listen to you or listen to God? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. So they said, well, we can't do anything to them, and the people are on their side, so we got to let them go. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So they point out, hey, it's either obey you or obey God. And they basically leave the question, they kind of ask them the question, what do you think we're supposed to do? Obey you or obey God? We know the answer. Go over to chapter 5 and find verse 17. Then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came
But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." You put them in jail, the jail's still locked up. Somehow they got out and they're preaching again. They're down there preaching again. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." They're saying, "Didn't we tell you to stop this preaching? Didn't we tell you?" They're trying to live peaceably, but God comes first. "Didn't we tell you not to do this preaching?" Now look, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." That does not negate anything else that we have read tonight. That does not mean, okay, there's our excuse to not do anything government says. No, the testimony of Scripture is this: you obey earthly government up until the point that earthly government tells you to disobey God, and then you say, "Nope, I'm obeying God." "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." And then if you look down at verse 41, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." And look what they did, the rascals. "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Don't do it. We told you not to do that. But we can't do anything to them. There's too many people here on their side. But we told you not to do that. Don't do it anymore. And then they left. And, well, what do we do now? Well, I guess we just keep on preaching because that's what we've been called to do. So, when it comes to earthly government, our response biblically is to be this: we are to be in subjection to it because God has commanded us to be. And because God has put those powers in place. And because if we are, it removes a lot of problems that we would otherwise have if we were rebellious. And we are to pray for them. But we always keep in mind the scripture that we just read. There are a lot of things we're not crazy about doing. We're not crazy about regulations and taxes and things like this. And boy, they can really be a burden. But are we disobeying God whenever we do those things? No. We don't like them. They're unfortunate, but it doesn't mean that we're disobeying God. And as long as the government is not requiring you to do something that would cause you to disobey God, even if we don't like it, we endure it and we go along with it. But the minute that they try to get into your Bible, the minute that they try to hamper your faith, and the minute they say you cannot do something that God told you to do, stop doing what God told you to do, you can't do that, that's where we part ways and say, "Sorry, I can obey you up until here. But if you're trying to tell me to disobey my God, we ought to obey God rather than man. He comes first." So is there ever an excuse? Absolutely, there is. But let's make sure it's the biblical excuse. Let's make sure that if we ever have to disobey something that the king or whatever the authority is, if we ever have to disobey that, that it's for a biblical reason. And not just because we don't like what's going on, we don't like what's being said. Let's make sure that it all lines up with Scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these reminders tonight. And Lord, help us as we... this is a part of our witness. This is a part of us going out and being a light and being a witness and showing people the proper response. And Lord, there are things that we don't like. But help us to realize that unless it causes us to disobey your word, we're supposed to submit to it. But also help us to be strong. And whenever, if we are asked to do something that's disobedient to your word, that we would stand up and we would say no. And that we're going to obey you and we're going to please you first. And I ask that you would just help us to be mindful of these things, Lord, and be changed by these truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.